Hello, Margaret River Baptist Church friends. We're in 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 to 11. If you haven't read the passage yet, please press pause and go and read it and then come back and continue listening. So 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 to 11. There are three sections in this passage, and I think that they can be best expressed in a maths equation. We all love maths, right? Well, here it is. The divine action plus the human response equals the heavenly result. So, verses 3 and 4 are about the divine action. They are about what God has done for us. And then verses 5 to 9 are about the human response. That is what we do as humans in response to what God has done for us. And then verses 10 and 11 are about the heavenly result. That is what happens when the divine action and the human response align or line up together. Now, I've got pictures of fruitful trees on this PowerPoint slide, because as we will see, this is all about life. It's about living the divine life that God has for us as our Creator. So I want to spend a little bit of time looking at each of these sections a little bit more closely. So firstly, there is the divine action in verses 3 and 4. At the center of these two verses is the concept of Jesus's glory and goodness. That's the starting point for the divine life, a revelation or a revealing of the glory and goodness of Jesus, the divine one. Jesus's glory and goodness is revealed to us in his birth and life and teachings, in his miracles, in his death and resurrection, in his appearance after his resurrection, and in his ascension. And it's through contemplating the glory and goodness of Jesus that two really profound things happen. On the one hand, when we contemplate the glory and goodness of Jesus, we are called to Jesus. That is, we are drawn to Jesus. We are attracted to Jesus. And as we draw near to Jesus, we get to know him and we become connected to him. And through this knowledge of him and this connection to him, he, by his divine power, gives us everything we need to live the godly life, the divine life. So, to put it simply, knowledge of the glorious and good Jesus, who is the divine one, leads to living the Jesus life, the divine life, the glorious and good life. Then, on the other hand, when we contemplate the glory and goodness of Jesus, we receive Jesus's great and precious promises. And through believing those promises and trusting those promises, we escape the corruption of the world. And as a result, we actually participate in the very divine nature. To put this simply, the promises of the glorious and good Jesus, who is the divine one, deliver us from death and into the divine life. So, it is through knowing and trusting the glorious and good one that we live the glorious and good life, that we actually participate in the divine nature. Now, if this terminology feels a little weird, divine power, divine nature, that's because the author of 2 Peter was specifically drawing on the pagan terminology of their day. And they were taking that terminology and turning it to apply in a Christian framework of thought. And if you think about it just a little bit, it's very profound. We're talking about divine power. We're talking about divine nature and our very participation in the divine nature. Our brothers and sisters in the Eastern Orthodox Church have a word for this, and that word is theosis, which is the process of making something divine. Just think about it from a gospel point of view. In Jesus, God united his divinity with our humanity. And so through Jesus, our humanity is united to God's divinity. That's profound. Two early church fathers, Irenaeus and Athanasius, recognized the profoundness of this. And they said, they interpreted this, saying, the Son of God became man that we might become God. That's God with a lowercase g, not a capital G. Now, we're probably not quite comfortable with this kind of language, with this kind of thought. But let's think about it using pictures. On the PowerPoint slide, I have a picture of a seed going through the process of becoming a tree. Just as a small seed is planted in dirt and receives the energy of sunshine and water and eventually becomes a tree, we humans likewise are planted in dirt. And we receive the divine energy through Jesus and the Holy Spirit and eventually become like him. We could even use the image of the caterpillar becoming a butterfly. Now, one author who I'm reading at the moment, Richard Rohr, puts it like this, which I think is very helpful. He says, we are created to share in the life flow of Trinity. Salvation isn't about replacing our human nature with a fully divine nature, but growing within our very earthiness and embodiedness to live more and more in the ways of love and grace so that it comes naturally to us and is our deepest nature. That's the divine action. God merging divinity with humanity so that humanity can be merged with divinity. Let me say that again. God merging divinity with humanity so that humanity can be merged with divinity. Now, before we move on to how we are to respond to the divine action, I just want to draw attention to the words, everything we need for a godly life. Because whenever I hear or read these words, they strike me in a fresh and profound way. Right here, right now, you and I have everything we need for a godly life. We are not lacking anything we need. Like the psalmist says in Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Now, often I think we feel that there's something missing, that there's something that we need and don't have. But this verse assures us that nothing is missing, that we do have everything we need. If our goal is to live a godly life, then you and I can do that right here, right now. We may not do it perfectly, and it may come in fits and starts, two steps forward and one step back, but we can move forward, and we can make progress, and we can enjoy a trajectory of growth. Why? Because we have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we have everything we need for a godly life. Now I think we're ready to look at the human response to the divine action. That brings us to verses 5 to 9. Verses 5 to 7 are sometimes called the ladder of faith. That's why I have pictures of ladders on this slide. Our response begins with faith and it culminates with love, which is the highest virtue. Just read 1 Corinthians 13, which concludes with these words. Now faith, hope, and love remain, these three things, and the greatest of these is love. And to get from faith to love, we must progress through six other virtues: goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, and mutual affection. We are told that if we climb this ladder, we will become effective and productive in the divine life. But of course, if we don't climb this ladder, it's as if we're nearsighted, blind, and forgetful of the first point of what we've just looked at. We have forgotten the divine action. That is, the divine action where we have been given everything we need for a life of godliness. Through Jesus' divine power, we have escaped the corruption of the world. So why would we still live in it? We have everything we need. Let us not be forgetful of that. Then we can climb this ladder. Now, even the very word ladder and this image of ladder is difficult for me. I remember when I had to do an assignment on this text in Bible college. I felt uncomfortable as I did my assignment because as I read the passage and tried to understand it, it felt so much to me as if the passage was about working for our salvation. But of course, that's not what it's about at all. Rather, it's about working out our salvation. We're not working for our salvation, we're working out our salvation, just as we're commanded to do in Philippians 2, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You see, salvation isn't about going to heaven when you die. Rather, salvation is about what we've just seen. It's about receiving divine power, which leads to a life of participation in the divine nature. Too often, I think we just think of salvation as our ticket out of here, whereas salvation is actually more about going deeper into reality. It's not about escaping reality. It's about going further up and further into reality. So, the ladder of faith. Faith gives rise to goodness. Goodness gives rise to knowledge. Knowledge gives rise to self-control. Self-control gives rise to perseverance. Perseverance gives rise to godliness. Godliness gives rise to mutual affection. And then all of this gives rise to the glorious and good virtue of love, which is supremely exemplified in Jesus. In John 15, verse 13, we read, "No one has greater love than to give up one's life for one's friends." Now, I think it's helpful to spend a moment thinking about these virtues. It would be impossible for me to define them all precisely in a short amount of time. So I'm just going to give you the sense of them briefly. In preparing this, I used a commentary by biblical scholar Michael Green in the Tyndale series, and in reading his material, I'll just give you what I've come up with based on his material. Goodness is about excellent living. It's about living life the way we were meant to live life, the way Jesus taught us to live life. Knowledge is about practical wisdom. It's about discerning between good and bad, and about how to live that out practically in our daily lives, how to practically implement wisdom in avoiding the bad and pursuing the good. Self-control is about controlling our desires instead of having our desires control us. Desires in and of themselves are not bad, of course, but desires that have run amok are very bad. Perseverance is about not giving up when faced with hardship, but rather it's about enduring through hardship onto the other side. This one surely speaks to our current situation with COVID-19. Godliness is about proper behavior toward God and toward people. It's about fulfilling the greatest command, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Mutual affection is about caring for one another, about being concerned for the welfare and flourishing of our human brothers and sisters. And then we come to the greatest of these. We come to love. And Michael Green defines love like this: a deliberate desire for the highest good of the one loved, which shows itself in sacrificial action for that person's good. I think that's a great definition of love. I want to read it again. Love is a deliberate desire for the highest good of the one loved, which shows itself in sacrificial action for that person's good. No one has greater love than to give up one's life for one's friends. Now, I want to deal with this picture of the ladder, because I think it's better not to see these virtues as a ladder of faith, but rather as the tree of faith. Faith is the root. Love is the fruit. And the branches and leaves that support the fruit are goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, and mutual affection. I think that's a way better picture, the tree of faith. So that's our human response to the divine action. And again, it's not as though we're incapable of doing this, because we have everything we need to do it. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. We have what we need to go through the process of the tree of faith. And that brings us finally to the heavenly result. When our human response aligns with God's divine action, what is the result? Well, the result is heavenly. That's what we're going to look at now in verses 10 and 11. This whole process of growth, this whole process of the tree of faith, this process of divine empowering and divine participation is summed up in these words: make every effort to confirm your election and calling. Now, I've already mentioned Philippians chapter 2, which says the exact same thing in slightly different words. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's the same thing as make every effort to confirm your election and calling. To make every effort is to climb the ladder of faith, or better, to go through the process of the tree of faith. Now, to be elected is to be chosen. And God has chosen the whole of humanity in Jesus Christ. You see, by uniting his divinity with humanity, God is saying, I am so committed to humanity that I became human and united humanity to my divinity. You see, Jesus Christ is the divine human one who represents humanity. And to be called, or to be drawn, or to be connected to Jesus is to be incorporated into his divinity. And it is to be therefore part of the elect. And we're told that if we enter into this process of the tree of faith, which produces the fruit of love, we will never stumble. Of course, as I've already mentioned, our experience teaches us that we are not perfect. We do make mistakes. We do fail. But this verse where it says we will never stumble is referring to what I've mentioned earlier. We move ahead in fits and starts, sometimes with two steps forward and one step back, but we do move ahead. And we move in a particular direction of the divine life, of godliness, where there is progress over time. There is a clear trajectory of growth. And what we see here in verse 11 is that choosing this life, choosing this divine life, over and over again, every day when we wake up, will not lead us to ruin. It will lead us to life and life in abundance. We read this in verse 11. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What might that rich welcome sound like? Well, I'm reminded of one of the parables Jesus told, where the master of the servant says to the servant, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I think that's a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, there's a warning here. The opposite of this journey doesn't lead to that rich welcome. If we ignore the divine action through not faith but disbelief, which would lead to the opposite of the virtues that we've considered, and therefore not result in a life of love, we would eventually be led to ruin. Not to life, but to ruin. So that's the warning in this passage. Well, in conclusion, what can I say? This passage is both encouragement and warning. I've just pointed out the warning, and I'd much prefer to end by focusing on the encouragement, on the fact that we have the divine power, we have the divine nature, we have everything we need because of Jesus. And I think we need to hear this today in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic. Because today, or tonight, or whenever you're listening to this, you can choose to walk in panic and fear and anxiety and chaos, but you don't have to. You really don't have to. Why? Because God has given you everything you need to walk in faith and to walk in love, even in a time such as this. We have what we need, not to go on the path of panic, but to go on the path of love. In conclusion, I want to end with a passage, and I want to move from 2 Peter to 1 Peter. I actually think that this passage in 2 Peter 1, 3 to 11 is an echo of 1 Peter 1 verses 3 to 9, and so I think it's the perfect way to end this talk. So let me read it for us. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not now see him, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for the passage that I've been able to share in this recording. I pray, Lord, that you would cause this passage to go down deep into all of our minds and hearts and to bear fruit in our lives in the coming week. Lord, we are experiencing something that we've never experienced before as a people. But we know, Lord, that you've given us everything that we need to go through this experience, not in panic and fear, but in faith and love. And so we would pray that you would continue to work in us by your Holy Spirit now and in the coming week to help us live exemplary lives of faith that bring you glory and honor and that are helpful and edifying and encouraging to those around us, whoever we might spend our time with. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, thanks for listening. And we'll see each other soon, God willing.